want to say first, of all the people that's here, man, there's so many. I'm just blown away. I have so much to say. For example, Justin Parker's here. He's bruised up, but that's because Lori beats him. I've witnessed. That's right, old boy, and I'll never let you forget it. That's exactly right. Big Albert Dilks and his wife is back. Lord, honey, how you've put up with Albert all them years. Yeah. And Alan Caldwell, and Darrell and Chrissy, Cool Daddy. I was talking about Cool Daddy last night for a while. Probably one of the best treats is Barry Bailey's here. And I say that because now we know Mackenzie will behave herself. That's so good. Both of my daughters are here. Oh, I love them so much. So glad they're here. Now, what I was going to do, I'm not doing because all you people I've known for 100 years, I'm not doing it. Mark will tell you this. I called Mark. It's been a long time back. I said, we're going to sing a song. And there was a song that I wanted to sing 3 months ago while you was preaching. I kept singing it in my head while you was preaching, and I didn't do it. And then I said, no, I don't do that no more. And I don't do that no more. And the older you get, the less voice you've got. But it's not the sound of the voice. It's the message of this song that kept ringing in my mind. And I thought, if I don't sing it now, then it's going to just absolutely choke me to death. Because it declares something about me that I want you to know, okay, about me. And I need you to know this in every way possible. I don't even know if we're in the right gear. I don't know if I can even remember it all. But we're gonna give it a whirl. Is that all right? It's an old song, but I hope you'll just hear the message. It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. Often I fail. And I've brought Him much shame, but it's my desire to live for Him. Now, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am. Other people here that I've met, and it's what we was about years ago when when Ken was up here this morning, I was never so blessed in my life. He's my neighbor, but he's been a friend, boy, that has really stuck close and helped me through the darkest times of my life. And once you begin to chart your course, some things changes in you, and your desires will change. Do you know that? Listen. It's my desire to help someone today. Someone who may have failed to see the way. For I too was once so lost. Oh, but I found my way to God. Now it's my desire to live for Him. Now if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take this world's wealth and its riches. And it's altered several hundred times. yesterday morning, I got a text from Dean Barrett. And I looked at that text and I said, boy, hallelujah, praise God. It was a word that I needed to be dropped into my heart. Never underestimate, never undervalue when God speaks a word to you. Do not fail, but to give it as God directs you. Because you never know what you're going to be doing and what impact you're going to have on somebody's life. This is what Dean Barrett texted me yesterday morning. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. I read that and I thought, well, maybe Dean Barrett needs to preach this morning. When he texted me that, it called to my mind a passage of Scripture that I've preached from before. And what I'm going to share with you is not original to me. I heard this principle when I was young, and it's never left me. And so when Dean texted me that, immediately I grabbed my Bible and I said, well, let me just ponder that passage again. And let me rehearse that story again that I've read so many times from the Word of God and see what the Lord drops into my heart about it. I'd like to tell you He dropped some new things into my heart, but all He did was just refresh something that was old, and it became new all over again. That's the way the Word of God works, by the way. Did you know that? So I was thinking about the life of Job, all that Job went through. And did you know that everything that Job went through, he never sinned with his lips? Did you know that? Not one time did he sin with his lips. We're going to rehearse some of those things in a minute, but Job, he arrived at this conclusion. Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. That's what Job said. But he did begin to contemplate his situation, and he had some questions for the Lord about it. I've said this to you before. I say it to you again. It's not a sin to question what God is doing in your life. It is a sin to question His authority to do it. Did y'all hear that? Now, some of you guys that's heard me preach forever, instruct some of the new folks that if they don't say amen, I add 30 minutes to the message. Y'all remember those days, don't you? And watch, the new ones actually think we're kidding. Can you believe that? It's not a sin to question what God is doing in your life. But it's a sin to question His authority to do it. So Job began to have questions of the Lord. And the Lord answered Job with questions of His own. And then the Lord recited to him a unique chapter in the book of Job is in the 39th chapter. And the Lord draws an analogy with some animals. And He paints a picture in Job 39 of the old war horse. And I believe there is principles in that passage of how we're to face war when it comes to you. How many of you are saved and you know Jesus as your Savior? Hear what I'm about to tell you. Individually, collectively as a local church, nationally as a nation, and globally as a world, you're at war. Whether you want to believe it or not. Matter of fact, individually, your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking you out to see if he can devour you or not. Did you know that? So Jesus even said that he is seeking to steal, to kill, and to destroy God's credibility in your life. To cause you to doubt whether or not God really loves you. To cause you to doubt whether or not God is someone you can trust. As a matter of fact, Satan would love to cause you to doubt whether God even exists or not. Some of you are too religious to admit the fact that you've contemplated those thoughts yourself. I've been preaching His Word now for 40 plus years. And still, I hear the voice of Satan come around and say, you really think that book really is true? That book you believe? I quickly have to remind Satan that that book has been proven to me time and time and time again. And that God has always been faithful to what He promised.
I have to remind Satan that I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. Constantly I have to remind Satan that God can supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. Every once in a while, I have to remind Satan of what his end is going to be when he's locked up in hell and I'm rejoicing and ruling and reigning with Christ. Sometimes that's the only way out of doubt and fear and all of the things the enemy would throw at me. But when God responded to Job, he was responding how you can really make it in this warfare. And he draws the analogy of the old war horse. And I want to read to you what God said to Job in Job chapter 39 and verse number, beginning with verse 18. He says, "What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his rider. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley." Did y'all hear that? The old war horse. "He paweth in the valley, and he rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha. And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting." That's the picture of the war horse. In all that God says to Job, he is describing how that the war horse was designed and made for battle. A few weeks back, we discovered this as a truth. For some of you that wasn't here, we discovered this, and I believe it's a word from God. You are made and designed for the very battle that you're in. Don't be naive enough to think I'm the only one that's in a battle right now. Everybody that's here is in a battle right now. And if you don't array yourself like the war horse, you will go down to defeat in the battle of your faith. The war horse is designed for battle. And according to what God says here and draws the picture of, he anticipates the battle. While he is arrayed with all of the armor of a war horse, he hears, and according to that book, even smells the battle afar off, and he just sits there, and with his hoofs, he digs in the valley. He begins to paw to go to war. He's not shirking away from the battle. He's wanting to run into the battle. He knows of the sound of the war that's up ahead, and he's sitting there pawing while the rider is holding him back. Why? Because he's wanting to rush into the battle. He's wanting to run into the battle. It's going to sound odd to some of you. About 3 o'clock this morning I got up and just woke up, couldn't go back to sleep. And can I tell you, I'm just telling you the truth here now. Haley can verify this. From about 3 o'clock this morning till 6 o'clock this morning, I could walk just as normal as you've ever seen with no pain at all in my feet. It was something else. I honestly, first time my feet ain't hurt me in I don't know how long. And I just stood there and I did some calf raises in honor of Mackenzie. I really did. Did I not do that when you... I told Haley, I said, I ain't felt this good and I can't remember how long. And can I tell you something? I was sitting there and suddenly I started getting a little bit excited about what's happening tomorrow. That to sound odd. I know it sounds odd, and I'm a weirdo, and I understand. But watch, look, can I report something to you? In a little over 24 hours from now, I ain't going to have cancer no more. That's something to be excited about. I declare unto you, I'm healed in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter what happens tomorrow, I'm still healed. I still ain't going to have cancer. Y'all need to say amen to that. You think I'm kidding when I say this, but honestly, I'm not kidding to you. Either way it goes, there's three options. Did you know that? They might be 10 or 12, but I'm just going to give you a couple. All right? In the morning, I'm going to go in and have surgery. They can open me up and say, well, there ain't a thing in there. Close me back up and that'll be fine. They can open me up and say, boy, he's eat up. They can cut out what they can, fill me with chemo, do all the stuff, and still I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be healed because Jesus has already told me I'm healed. Okay? Or they can open me up and I fly away in sleep to meet Jesus in the clouds of glory. And watch this. If that happens, I'm healed. Now, y'all may think that I'm crazy. I got a little excited this morning over the prospect of the next 24 hours or so in my life. It's an adventure. And I started thinking about Stephen Curtis Chapman's song, Saddle Up Your Horses, It's Another Adventure. And I thought about that old war horse digging in the valley, pawing, just wanting to go to battle, just crying out to go to war. He wasn't afraid of the arrows that was coming against him. He wasn't afraid of the other army that was coming against him. All he wanted to do was go to war. Can I tell you something I've had a thought of, and then we'll preach the rest of what I'm going to say. I'm almost done, believe it or not. But listen to this. I had this thought. What if right in the middle of the surgery, the rapture takes place? Think about that one. You say, why, that can't happen. Have you looked at the news? Can I tell you, we are close to the trumpet sounding and we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the middle of it. Can you see the look on them nurses and doctors that don't know Jesus that's in there? What in the world happened to that man? He's gone. So watch this. I'm convinced of this as a truth. If I stay strong and steadfast, as Dean told me, and I keep dancing all day today and all night tonight and all the way to the hospital in the morning, I dance in the strength of the Lord. I'm going to be just like that war horse, and I'm going to dig in the valley, and I'm going to say what Satan means for evil, God's going to use for good. And though the devil come against me, Jesus is the victor, and I'm going to be victorious in him. Now this is the principle that the Lord dropped into my heart about this passage years ago. And I'm going to tell you how Job won the victory. And in me telling you this, I'm trying to equip you for the rest of your life. And if you can hear what I'm about to tell you, it will transform your life. It will change you in every way possible. Okay, I'm going to tell you why you go down to defeat, and I'm going to tell you how you can win the victory. It's real simple. Are you listening? Everybody say, I'm listening. Job won the victory in battle because he looked at what he did have and not what he didn't have. It's that simple. Did you hear what I said? Every time I have looked at what I didn't have and tried to get what I thought I didn't have, I found out I didn't need what I thought that I needed. So if you don't look at what you don't have and look at what you do have, nothing can rob you of your faith. And you'll come through every battle saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You with me? Listen, let me tell you what happened. You know the story. How many of you know Job was wealthy? 7,000 head of livestock of one kind, camels, I believe it was. 500 cattle, and oxen. A rich man in that day. But Job had to go to war. He had to go to battle. He had to go to the valley. And his wealth was suddenly gone. Are y'all hearing me? What did Job do when he lost his wealth? He looked at what he did have and not what he didn't have. Well, I've lost my wealth. But God, I still have my family. I've still got my wife. I've still got my friends. And because of what I do have, I think I'll just keep pawing in the valley. I'll keep digging at it. I'm not going to be afraid of what the devil can do. Hey, some of you lose your wealth, you'd lose your faith too. You know why? Because you'd look at what you don't have instead of what you do have. I'm poor. I'm support. Do you know when me and Haley, I tried to talk her out of marrying me. I promise you I did. And I told her, you'll remember this. I said, if you marry me, we're never going to have a dime. I was so broke. Oh, I was so broke. Y'all don't even know broke. You think you know broke. You don't know what broke is. I know broke. And here's the problem. I was telling Joe Barrett this yesterday at a family birthday celebration that Christopher ended up bringing Mackenzie to. I never did figure that out, did you? Anyway, had a birthday party for Joe Barrett, and I told Joe Barrett, I said, it's odd. You know, when people get married, normally there's one person that's got strengths, and the strengths of that one spouse is the weakness of the other. And the strengths of that other spouse is the weakness of the other. That's why y'all fuss and fight so much. So much conflict. But there's a counterbalance. Me and Haley's completely different than that. Somehow or another, we ended up with the same weaknesses and the same strengths. It can be a blessing and it can be disastrous. Neither one of us knows at all how much money we've got or don't have. Am I telling the truth? We never know. Now watch this. Some of you, if you lost your wealth, you'd lose your faith because all your attention's on your wealth. And if that's the way it is, you'll look at what you don't have instead of what you do have because, brother, let me tell you something. If you're trusting in your dollar, them dollars is fixing to go down the drain. Mark that down. There's one thing I do know, and that's the Word of God. And I'm telling you that part of the reason America is not listed in the nations in prophetic scripture is because we're going to be destroyed by our own economy. You cannot service a $34 trillion debt. That's right. Y'all saying amen out there? Amen. So if you lose your wealth and your eyes is on your wealth and not what you do have, you're going to lose your faith. But if your faith is on what you do have, you'll keep pawing in the valley. Boy, you'll keep digging. You might lose everything you got, but you'll still come to the house of God and say, I believe I'll dance before the Lord. You'll still come to the house of God and lift your hands up and say, God's a good God. Boy, I'll tell you, the Lord's blessed me. I got a good family. I've got my health. I've got my wife. I've got my friends. I believe I'll just keep pawing in the valley. But remember this now, when you win the victory over one, there's another valley up ahead. Job lost his wealth. And then he got news that all 10 of his kids died at the same time. Did you hear that? Yeah. You know what Job did? Job said, well, I've lost my wealth and I've lost my kids, but I still have my health. Yeah. Still have my wife. Still got my friends. I believe I'll just keep pawing in the valley. I believe I'll just keep praising God for what I do have. and not what I don't have. Y'all know where I'm going. Don't you get ahead of me. All right? He just kept pawing in the valley. I'm going to praise God for what I do have. I'm going to give God thanks for what I do have. I'm not going to get my eyes on what I've lost or what I don't have. I'm going to praise God for what I do have. But then he had to go back to the valley because he lost his health. How many of y'all are listening to me? Job lost his wealth. Job lost his children. Job then lost his health. And he sits in sackcloth and ashes with a potsherd scraping the pus off of his body. You know what Job did? Oh, God, I've lost my money. I've lost my kids. And now I ain't got no health left. But I still have my wife. Still got my friends. I believe I'll just keep digging. I'll just keep pawing in the valley, because you're a good God, and I'm going to look at what I do have and not what I don't have. But then Job had to go back to the valley again, and his wife looked at him and said, Job, you're disgusting. You would be better off dead. Why are you serving that God? He's taken everything that we have. And still you keep serving this God. Why don't you just commit suicide and die? Job was saying, I don't know where you're at, Lord. I've lost my money. I've lost my kids. I've lost my health. And I've lost my wife. But at least I have my friends. I believe I'll just keep pawing in the valley. I'm going to keep a digging. I'm not going to be afraid of them arrows and them spears. I'm not going to be afraid of them circumstances. I'm not going to let them drive me away from the Creator of the universe. No, I've still got my friends, Lord. I thank you for that. Boy, did he ever have some friends. They just came and looked at him and said, man, how the mighty have fallen. You're guilty of sin. That's your problem. That's your problem. You've committed some sin in your life. Job said, I don't know. If I have, I don't know about it. And his friends turned their back and walked away. You know what Job said? Well, I've lost my money. I've lost my kids. I've lost my health. I've lost my wife. I've lost my friends. But I think I'll just keep pawing in the valley because I still have God. Y'all didn't hear that. See, God said, I'll never leave you, Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, Job? I'm here. I'll never forsake you. Oh, you can lose it all, and as long as you have God, you have everything. Do you hear what I just said? Listen, let me tell you something. God's so good that you can keep pawing in the valley. You can keep digging. That's what Ken was talking about when he was saying, you got to dance when things are good, when things are bad. You got to just keep on dancing. Mackenzie was talking about me frolicking yesterday. Can you imagine that? I told her, listen, you might see me do a lot of things. Frolic ain't one of them. I had to eat them words when Ken was up here. Thank God Ken said, hey, it can also be in your heart. I'm frolicking all over in my heart. If it was to ever come out, y'all would run in disgust, I'm telling you. I ain't got no slick moves. But I can tell you this, one thing I can do, like the old war horse, it don't matter what comes against this old guy right here, I'm going to keep digging. It don't matter what I lose, I'm going to keep pawing. You know why? I got a good God. I got a Savior that loves me. He's prepared for me a home in glory. And one of these days, this life's going to be over and a new life is going to begin. And I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't wait to see Him. I can't wait to be with Him. And let me tell you, if that comes tomorrow, so be it. But if it don't, you're stuck with me until He does call me home. And while I'm with you, I'm going to just keep pawing. And I'm going to make sure you paw. You got to keep digging. Them hands has got to keep getting up before the Lord. You got to keep bragging on how good God is, how good Jesus is. Let me remind you, you're headed for hell, and now you're going to heaven. You're not lost in your sin anymore. He's the best thing that ever happened to you. And He's worthy of all of your prayers. Lord God, I used to preach like that all the time. I can't hardly do that no more. It's wearing me out. I used to do that for an hour before. I'm done. But I've told you enough. Some of you need to get back to pawing. Some of you need to get back to digging. Some of you need to say to the devil, you've taken enough. Some of you need to say to this life, it don't matter what you take. I'm going to praise God anyway. What was this whole battle about anyway? Satan said, I can't get to him, but if I could get to him, I could make him curse you to your face. But the only thing Job said was, well, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. The end of the story, God gave Job back everything that he ever lost. Lord, wait. I was praying the other day and asking God about everything that's going on with me. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, son, I'm blessing you. Yesterday, I got to spend the day with Joe Barrett and Dawn Barrett. For the past 12 years, you've reintroduced me to family. For the past few years, this church has let me be a part of your family. Oh, Cool Daddy, y'all don't know Cool Daddy, but he introduced himself to you. Darryl Ray, I'm sorry. I shouldn't call you Cool Daddy. Y'all don't know who Cool Daddy is. That's what we used to call him years ago at the church. Cool Daddy talked for a long time. He's long-winded. Did you know that? But let me tell you what he said. I want to reiterate something he said to y'all. He said, you've given a place for my pastor to rest. I can't thank you enough for that. You'll never know. You won't know till you get to glory. But when you get to glory, God's going to reveal to you what you've done for me. I've shared this one time with you. I'm done here. First time I came in over Joyston, I was scared and didn't want to even be around you. I was scared. I was in fear. And then first person I met was Roger. And Roger come over to me. Y'all know how Roger is, you know. He shook my hand. How you doing? God bless you. You're such a good person. That's Roger. And I said, Roger, you doing all right? And Haley had told me. See, Haley described y'all to me, and I didn't believe that people like y'all really were real. I thought they were imaginary friends that she was talking about. That's true.
She told me about Roger and Debbie, you know. Roger was so kind to me. And I said, Roger, is Debbie treating you all right? Yeah, she's doing okay. She just smoked a little bit too much dope before church this morning. That's what he told me. I knew right then, I'm at home. I'm at home. I'm right at home. Y'all loved me. I can't thank y'all enough. My brother. I can't even thank you enough. I love you, Alan Caldwell. You ugliest man I ever seen, and I love you. Only man I know of that's uglier than Alan Caldwell is Joey Gregg, but I mean, he's hideous. But watch this, listen. Here's the truth. What Ken told you this morning, here's what I'm telling you. It's time to dig in the valley. Paul, dance. That war horse just prances. He's dancing. Regardless of what happens in your life, we got a good God. Let's paw in the valley together. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Teach us to paw in the valley, to dig. Somebody here facing some circumstances in your life, and you don't know what to do about it. It just knocked you for a loop. Hold your hand up. Just keep them up there. Yeah. You know what God's wanting you to do, Paul? Just keep digging. Just keep digging. Rejoice in your strength. Don't be afraid of the battle. Battle's just going to come. I pray right now in Jesus' name, God will just give you strength to keep pawing. Keep trusting. Keep holding on. You know why? We got a good God. We got a good God. Some of you under financial strain. Who are you out there under financial strain? Hold your hand up. Or just keep them up. Hey, listen, it's all right. Lord, I pray, though we be broke, yet will we praise you because you're a good God. Some of you in family strife, there ain't nobody here but us and the Lord. If you're in family strife, just wave your hands. There's some kind of strife going on in your family. Oh God, help us to dig in the valley and keep praising you through this battle. Help us, Lord, to keep giving you praise and dance in the rain. Some of you having health problems. Just keep your hands up if that's you. You're having health problems. Yeah. You know what we're going to do? We're going to keep digging. We're going to keep pawing. We're going to keep digging. We're going to trust God. At the end of the day, we're going to say, Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. How many of you will commit that you're going to trust God because you know He's the one and the only one that can lead you? Commit to that. Just hold your hands. Lord Jesus, you see. We trust you, Lord. We trust you.